Today marks something new in the history of AIDS activism. Worldwide protests from Pretoria, South Africa to the Philippines, Washington to Bangkok, and Australia to Italy are timed to coincide with opening statements in a lawsuit brought by 40 drug companies against South Africa. The companies want to block South Africa from making or importing cheap versions of brand-name drugs that in rich nations cost $10,000 a year per patient. This month, NPR News is addressing the issue of getting drugs to HIV-infected people in the developing world. Today, NPR's Richard Knox reports on the growing influence of AIDS activists.
The current round of street protests began last summer in Durban, South Africa. A march on the opening day of the International AIDS Conference there was the largest that U.S. AIDS activists had ever seen. But it didn't stop there. The drug company's lawsuit against the government of South Africa has become the focus of a global crescendo of protest, like this one recently in front of the High Court in Pretoria.
Today we say to everyone that we are ready to take all the measures necessary to get treatment to people with HIV and AIDS. We will continue our defiance campaign against the drug company patents.
There's no question the world's leading pharmaceutical companies are on the defensive in a global struggle for public opinion. And lately, things aren't going their way.
To have Nelson Mandela as the first defendant in the case in South Africa with 4.2 million AIDS sufferers, you couldn't develop even if you tried such a bad PR case study, could you?
Justin Forsyth is policy director of Oxfam, which runs anti-poverty programs in 100 countries. Oxfam recently targeted the drug giant GlaxoSmithKline on the issue of AIDS drugs. Some major stockholders joined in at a recent meeting with Glaxo officials in London.
The major point that the investors made that made them sit up and listen was that they didn't feel that Glaxo had a coherent strategy for making their medicines available to the very poorest people in the world.
A few days after the meeting, Glaxo's chief executive promised to come up with a new AIDS drug strategy by late June. Glaxo officials could not provide a spokesperson to discuss the activist's role. Pharma, which represents major drug companies, released a three-line statement to NPR, crediting activists with, among other things, highlighting the need for better health care in Africa.
The drug companies have been doing a damage control exercise for just about a year.
Mark Harrington was an AIDS activist at the barricades in the late 1980s and early 90s.
It's becoming a PR disaster for industry on the level of the tobacco industry or the Nestle's issues in the 70s, which occurred around infant nutrition.
Harrington says until recently, most believed the only thing that could be done about AIDS in the developing world was to prevent its spread. Treatment was out of the question. But last year, that began to change.
The idea that we could actually treat the millions and millions of people that are infected with HIV in developing countries simply did not occur to the people who are setting policy around these issues until groups of people with AIDS themselves in developing countries put that issue on the agenda.
The vanguard this time is in Brazil. Activists there pushed their government to provide free HIV treatment. That showed AIDS death rates could be lowered drastically even in a country with third world health facilities. Lately, activist alliances have sprung up around the world to spread that success far and wide. Meanwhile, those like Julie Davids of the group ACT UP Philadelphia are keeping the heat on in the U.S.
Our job here in the United States is to push back the 10,000-ton gorilla for the U.S. government to change its aggressive trade policies and rein in its corporations.
There are signs that may be happening. The Bush administration is not siding with the drug industry against South Africa. And Dr. Christopher Oma, a Kenyan activist, says that may be critical.
The legal case going on in South Africa happens to be the biggest drawback to HIV control in Africa, I think, because all other governments are thoroughly intimidated by what's going on there.
Oma admires the feisty tactics of ACT UP, the way it recently invaded Glaxo's investor relations offices in Manhattan, and how activists heckled Al Gore on the campaign trail last year until the Clinton administration stopped supporting the drug company's suit against South Africa.
Very effective measures, and those had global repercussions. But in Kenya, the only thing that we could possibly have is like a peaceful demonstration in front of parliament, and we really intend to do that.
Oma and his compatriots are pressing the Kenyan parliament to follow South Africa's lead. They wanted to pass new laws this month that permit the government to manufacture cheap HIV drugs or import them at the lowest prices. They think the law will pass and that the president of Kenya won't veto it.
That would be too drastically unpopular.
One reason AIDS activists around the world appear to have the upper hand is a new, not-so-secret weapon, the Internet. They use it to share strategy and gather facts. And constant contact with far-flung colleagues around the world also keeps OMA going.
It is useful to be able to have conversations on almost a minute-by-minute basis. It also gives us the feeling that there are people who are watching, there are people who are giving us encouragement. We know that we are chipping away, but we are making some progress.
Activists say they know they're up against some of the world's most powerful corporations, not to mention timidity, corruption, and indifference at home. But for now, at least, they feel the tide of public opinion is with them. Richard Knox, NPR News.